Good evening and welcome to Midwest Beat. I'm your host, Tom Lounges. This show is all about music and the people who make it. Tonight, I've got a certifiable Nashville legend joining us, singer-songwriter Jimmy Fortune. Jimmy has had a very accomplished career. He's toured, sang, and performed with the legendary Statler Brothers for over 21 years. On stage, he also starred with them every week on the group's national TV show, which was my late mother's favorite TV show, so I grew up watching some of that. Jimmy co-wrote or wrote several of the group's biggest hits, including Elizabeth, My Only Love, Too Much on My Heart Forever, and several more. After the Statlers retired as a group in October of 2002, Jimmy seized that opportunity to launch his own solo career and share new music with his fans. He released a series of albums, and his latest came out just a few months ago, called Jimmy Fortune Sings the Classics. And it seems like an apt title because it teams up his legendary tenor voice with the works of Lennon McCartney, John Denver, Michael Martin Murphy, and others. But the first one I'm going to play off that album as we get Jimmy Fortune ready to come on phone with us is one that he remade that was a classic Statler Brothers song. You'll remember this one, but this is a new take. It's Jimmy Fortune and Flowers on the Wall.
I keep hearing you're concerned about my happiness. Well, all that thought you've given me is conscience, I guess. If I were walking in your shoes, I wouldn't worry none. You and your friends are worried about me, I'm having lots of fun. Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I'm nothing to do. Last night I dressed in tails, pretended I was on the town. As long as I can dream, it's hard to slow the swinger down. So please don't give a thought to me, I'm really doing fine. And you can always find me here and having quite a time. Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51. Smoking cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. I must go, I know I look a fright. And anyway, my eyes are not accustomed to this light. And my shoes are not accustomed to this hard concrete. So I must go back to my room and make my day complete. Counting flowers on the wall, that don't bother me at all. Playing solitaire till dawn with a deck of 51. Cigarettes and watching Captain Kangaroo. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do. Now don't tell me I've nothing to do.
Flowers on the Wall. That's an old Statler Brothers song remade by my guest tonight, Jimmy Fortune. And that goes out to all the old Statler Brothers fans that are tuned in tonight. We have Jimmy on the phone. All right. Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Well, it's good to be with you, man. It's an honor to be talking to you tonight.
Well, it's an honor to be talking to you, sir. As I had told Molly, your publicist, my mom was probably your biggest fan. I remember taking her to see you guys at the Star Plaza Theater a couple of times here in Merrillville, and she religiously watched your television show over and over and over. And I just got to say, it's a thrill to be able to talk to you, and I just wish you were here to listen in.
Me too. I tell you, we have had the best fans all over the world. I mean, people like your mom have supported the Stoudemire Brothers. And now a lot of them coming out to see me since I've been on my own, too, now, even still.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing, you know. It kind of humbles you, but it makes you so thankful that we've had people like that that it's, you know, meant so much to us, that our music meant so much to them, you know. You know, the fact that you do something in your life that means something to somebody is always a big blessing.
Right, right. Well, we just featured that song, which is actually an old Statler song, but it's off your new album, Jimmy Fortune Sings the Classics. And, of course, there's 14 great songs on here written by some of the most incredible songwriters in music history. I've got to wonder, after performing that song probably thousands of times over the 20-plus years you were with the Statlers, why choose to re-record your own treatment of it?
Well, I've always... if I ever did something like that, I always wanted to pay tribute to the Statler Brothers, and rather than try to copy it, just like, you know, exactly like it was, I wanted to put myself into it too.
Mm-hmm.
Because I was before the Statler Brothers, I played music in Virginia 6 nights a week, 4 hours a night for years and years and years, and I had to learn, you know, cover music, and I was into all kinds of music. I wasn't just one certain kind of music. I was, you know, we played a little bit of everything. Because when you're in a band like that, you have to, somebody throws something out at you, you know, you got to be able to play it. And so playing all those songs all those years, I had a lot of influences, you know, that and people that influenced me, like some of those are on that record. And of course, the Statler Brothers, we were a four-piece singing, you know, like a quartet.
Right.
And, everything was kind of set up like a quartet. And so whenever the Statler Brothers retired, one of the things that they told me, they said, whatever you do, they said, you don't need to copy anybody, copy us or whatever. You need to be you. You need to be Jimmy Fortune. And so I took that and ran with it, because you can't be anybody else. You have to be true to yourself. And so what I try to do with all those songs, I try to pay tribute to the original recording of it, but also put myself into it as well.
Right.
And the things that I've learned over the years. So that's the reason, well, the song had to be on there anyway, because first song that got it all started for the Statler Brothers, the report, it was written by Mr. Lou DeWitt, who was the tenor singer for the Statler Brothers before I came along.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to pay tribute to him as well. He passed away back in 1990 from Crohn's disease. And so I just enjoy that song. I love it. The words, it's a pretty brilliant song when you really stop and think about it.
Mm-hmm. Hey, did you like the version they did in Pulp Fiction? The way they used
I did. Yes, I did. And also, Eric Heatherly had a hand in, and he had a number one hit on that song back in the 90s as well. And it actually has a little bit of his version in that song, in my version of it. I kind of put a mixture of a little bit of everything that's kind of evolved over the years into that one recording. You know, when you hear it, you kind of hear a little bit of everything in there.
You know, you mentioned Lou DeWitt, one of the great singers of our time, late great Lou DeWitt with the Statlers. And it's interesting to note, and I think it's a real feather in your own cap, that it was Lou who handpicked you to take his place in the Statler Brothers. He had seen you, I understand, singing somewhere and said, he's mm-hmm. the guy. If I can't do it, he's the guy.
Yeah, he heard me singing at a place in Wintergreen, Virginia. It was a night before Thanksgiving, 1981. I went up to sit in with some friends of mine that were jamming at a place called Wintergreen, and an old ski resort up in Virginia. And I went up there that night, and Lou DeWitt happened to be there that night, and I met him for the first time. He was, like I said, I looked up to him so much because I loved the Statler Brothers. If you were from that area in Virginia, the Statler Brothers were bigger than life. They were like, you know, gosh, they were the guys that really made it from Virginia, you know. And so I met him that night, and I thought, we sang together, sang a couple of songs, John Denver songs, Merle Orbison stuff, and he told me he really liked my singing and all that stuff, and we talked, and we shook hands, and we parted that night, and I thought, well, I'll probably never hear from him again, right? And then right after Christmas is when I get a call from Statler Brothers office, saying they wanted me to come over and talk to him, that Lou was going to have to be out for about 6 months and for surgery, and I was the first name out of his mouth.
Wow.
And they actually had to audition some people in Nashville, so I went over and talked to them. I was the first one in the door to talk to them, and I actually got to go sing around the piano at Harold's house. So I had something to tell my grandchildren one day that I actually got to sing with Stout Bowes one time. And so I had no idea it was going to turn into, you know, a 21-year career with them. But
right.
Then they called me to come to Nashville and record and just to see what it sounded like. And then they told me that they wanted me to be the one to fill in for Lou. And it was for about 6 months. And then Lou came back after about 6 months and he asked me if I, you know, wanted to be a full-time member of the Stout Bowes because he didn't think he could take the road anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then I looked at him and said, you know, I would be an idiot to turn this down. I mean, I've already done the work to get it to this point, and you know, so hey, let's go, let's see what happens. And I thanked him and told him I would always pay tribute to him and whatever I did, and I have, and I will never forget Lou DeWitt. And what a wonderful talent, like you said. He's one of the most talented people in the world, a very stylistic type tenor voice, just so beautiful. And the fact that I actually got to go in and not take his place, but I had to make a place for myself. I would never go in with the intention of taking his place. So when we all eventually got into the Hall of Fame, we all went in together, with all five of us. It wasn't just four Statlers. So I thought that was a pretty neat thing that happened, you know.
Well, you guys are in not only the CMA Hall of Fame, you're also in the Gospel Hall of Fame too, correct?
Yeah, we went in the Gospel Music Hall of Fame in 07 and then the CMA Country Music Hall of Fame in 08.
Wow. Well, you were mentioning being told that you were a permanent member, and if I'm not mistaken, that was in 82, and you were with them on the Today album, which came out in, I think, 83, correct?
Yes, it did, and it also had the first song that I ever wrote on that album, which was a song called Elizabeth. I never had written a song before, and I went to Harold Phil and Don, and I told them, I said, if I write a song, would you guys record it? And Harold of the group, he was the bass singer of the group, he said, well, yeah. He said, well, yeah, little buddy, if it's good enough. And I thought, well, that was a pretty honest answer, and I had this melody in my head, a beautiful melody that kept just kind of going around and around in my head. And I was hearing this name over and over again. Everywhere I'd go, the name kept coming up. And I thought, well, I think somebody's trying to tell me something here. So I put the name with the melody and wrote the words down and sang it to the guys. And they heard it. And the harmonies were really beautiful to go along with the melody. And they said, that's going on our first record with you. And it was the It was on the first record, and it turned out to be a number one song. It was Song of the Year in 1984 in country music.
Wow.
Put it on by the fans of country music, and I won Songwriter of the Year that year for that. And so, I mean, you talk about God things happening in your life. I really felt like it was. I mean, you could just see there was a higher power involved in this than just me, you know.
It certainly seems that way. It seems like every domino fell just where it was supposed to.
Right. And I needed a break. I was working 6 nights a week, 4 hours a night for years, and then I had 2 daytime jobs at the time when they hired me. And I was burning the candle at both ends, really.
Did you ever think at that point, you know, they say things happen for a reason when we need it the most. Were you thinking at that point, perhaps, of just throwing in the towel and saying, you know, I like singing, I like performing, but it's time to get a real job, so to speak?
Well, there was always that, but always, every time it happened, always the music still was there. And I actually made more money when I was playing music than I did at anything else. And so I just kind of kept that as my main thing, you know, and for some reason, I just never quit. I just always did it. And I felt like music was always going to be, you know, in the forefront of my life. I was always going to do it. Even if it was just local,
okay.
I was going to somehow be involved and do it would always be there, whether I played on the weekends eventually or whatever. But, you know, you just never know. You do it because you love it, God knows it wasn't for the money, because you know, you wouldn't make it a whole lot of money. It's doing it on a local level, but but you really, it takes more than sometimes I think talent. You got to have some talent, but sometimes the perseverance of just trying to do something that you love and doing it for that reason is makes things happen, I think.
Well, let's treat the listeners to that song, Elizabeth. We're going to go back to 1983. The album is Today, and this is the song that Jimmy's talking about. We'll be back on the other side with Jimmy Fortune and more of Midwest Beat. Here's the Statlers.
Oh,
taking you back to 1983, the album Today, the song Elizabeth. And that beautiful tenor voice belonging to my guest this evening, Jimmy Fortune, one of the four Statler brothers back in the 1980s. And still going strong. He's got a brand new album, Jimmy Fortune Sings the Classics. We're going to hear a few songs from that coming up in just a bit. But Jimmy, something unique about that song that I just thought was, it just tickled me to read about it, was the fact you got to sing your first number one song, Elizabeth, to Elizabeth Taylor.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you how that came about. We were playing in Old Tucson, Arizona. We were playing a concert there, and Elizabeth Taylor had, you know, she had was filming the movie Poker Alice down there at that time. It was her birthday, like her 52nd birthday, and we got a call from her management. And they said, you know, hey, could you guys come over? You know, y'all got that song, it's a hit song. It's called Elizabeth, and she just loves it. And so why don't y'all come over and sing Happy Birthday to her and then sing a song to her. And so we went over there, and I remember it was really cold that day, so we were on the set and everything, and the wind was blowing, so she's like, well, why can't we just get up on your bus? And she came up on the bus, and she talked to us and sat there, and we sang Happy Birthday to her. And then, of course, she kind of thought the song was especially written for her because Harold stepped up, and he said, hey, we wrote this song just for you.
Did you ever tell her the truth?
No, but I got a note from her one time saying, thank you so much. It's such a beautiful song. Thank you for writing that song for me. And I didn't have the heart to tell her. You know,
right.
I mean, her name was Elizabeth, so I just let it go with that because I said, you know, the name is a beautiful name. And she did kind of inspire the movie because we were on our way to Tulsa, Oklahoma when I wrote that song, and they pulled out the movie Giant, and starred Elizabeth Taylor, Rock Hudson, and James Dean. And I saw her in that movie, and part of it was filmed in Virginia, which is where we're from, and part of it was filmed in Texas. She was so beautiful in that movie, and I just fell in love with her. Her name, and she was on my mind, actually, you know, when I wrote that song. So, mm-hmm. In a way, she did inspire that song. So, in a way, she was part of that and the reason that the song was written, you know.
We are talking with Jimmy Fortune, a former member of the Statler Brothers, who for the last 12, 13 years has been on his own making albums. His latest is Jimmy Fortune Sings the Classics. And you can catch him at the River Arts Theater at Prairie du Sauk, Wisconsin. And Jimmy, I got to wonder, why no Chicago date? You're so close, but yet so far.
Where at now?
You're going to be in Wisconsin, but no Chicago date on your roster right now.
Yeah, I know. We never do any kind of cold calls for anything as far as concerts, but people always call us, you know, but I guess nobody from Chicago has really called and got us up that way. But, you know, if they do, we'd love to come because we're actually breaking in all over the country. We stay out west quite a bit in Arizona and that area. And we love to play out west. And, well, we'll go anywhere, but, you know, if they call us to come to Chicago, anywhere, but we'll definitely be there.
Well, we need to get you out here for sure, and maybe even Shipshawana, Indiana, which is out by South Bend. And T. Graham Brown's going to be there in a couple of weeks. We're going to have him on the show, and they've been doing a lot of country music, and I think he'd be a perfect fit for that.
Now, I've played Shipshawana quite a bit.
Okay.
I did play that, and that's a great place to play. Of course, you're talking about T. Graham Brown, too. He's one of my favorites. I'm doing a show with him in Georgia this week, Bremen, Georgia, on Thursday. So we'll be doing that. And I love being with my buddy T. Graham Brown. We have a ball. But, anytime I get a chance to get up there in Chicago, that area, I'd love to come because I do get requests from fans wanting me to come up there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a matter of time finding a venue, somebody that wants to have Jimmy Fortune come. We'll be there.
Well, I'll have to get the word out to my promoter friends and see what we can do.
All right. Well, we'll definitely come. I'd love to see you.
Well, you're a smart man in the fact that you are picking a Caribbean cruise for the heart of February. You're going to be, Florida should be on the mend by February. You're going to be out at the Florida area there doing a Caribbean cruise. I assume that's still on. Tell me about the cruise.
Yeah, the cruise, February 2nd through the 10th, we're going on Southern Caribbean, and everything is still on. The last week or so, everything was happening down there. I did not promote it in my shows because of everything that's going on down there. I thought that's all they need me talking about going on a cruise when they're having all those problems down there, so I didn't do it. But I'm finding out that things are trying to get back to normal, but it's going to be a while. But the cruise is still on, and I know that we're still going. I do a cruise every year, Jimmy Fortune cruise somewhere. We just got back from Alaska. And those have gone. I've done like four to Alaska, and that's gone really well. I've also done some of the Time Life cruises and things like that, which do very well. But the ones that I do with the Jimmy Fortune specific cruises, they are me going just as taking my fans, and it's like a little close knit group of people that we go and kind of share stories and go on excursions together. And then I do concerts during the week, and they get to talk to me and ask me questions that they've always wanted to ask, and I'll try to answer them the best I can. But it's kind of just a fun get together for everybody, and I like to kind of have that personal hands on attention to everybody. I don't go and just hide in my cabin all week long. I'm actually getting out there with people and talking to people because I love people. I've always said if you're in this business and you don't love people, then it'd be a hard business to be in.
Right.
I think you really do need to love people, and that's probably the secret to my success is the fact that I do really, really genuinely care about the people that come. I still can't get over the fact that somebody actually pays money to come see me. You know? I have to pinch myself.
looking at your calendar, you are playing a lot of shows. And I've got to think, at this point in your career, you might be a little road weary. What makes you such a road dog that you want to keep going out there and doing it? And are you traveling with the same band all the time?
Well, I travel mostly with a three-piece group. It's like a kind of acoustic set, I call it. I got a guy with me now by the name of John Meyer, plays banjo, guitar, and upright bass. And then I have another guy that I use quite often by the name of Ryan Joseph, which plays fiddle, a great fiddle player, and mandolin and guitar. And also I use there's a girl here in town by the name of Paige Park, plays fiddle. She's just turned 20 years old, but she's a fiddle player like from God knows where. I mean, she's just so good. But I try to bring out usually a three-piece band, counting myself, and I try to pick up talent that's in town here, somebody that's, you know, trying to make a name for themselves or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and I bring them out on the road with me and kind of get their feet wet in front of a crowd and let them, you know, find out about them and tell them about them, and maybe from that point on they can go on from there, and who knows where they'll wind up, you know.
Kind of paying it forward like Lou did with you back in the day, pluck you out of obscurity and put you on a stage.
Right, right. I just picked these kids up, and some of them have gone on to do a lot. Like Ryan, he's with, Alan Jackson now. He's with that a lot of times. He plays with me, and it of course goes with Alan. I'll tease him all the time. I said, well, you know, when you go with Alan, you got to take a little pay cut. So I said, you just go ahead and do it. I don't mind. You go right ahead. But I had a girl with me a few years ago. She was with me about 5 years. Her name was Sydney Perry. She played fiddle, guitar. She's with Carrie Underwood now. So she's
she really took a
leap of faith out there, buddy. And she's doing really, really well with Carrie. So she's adding to her resume all the time. But I love to hear these kids. There's so much talent out here. It's unbelievable. And not only that, I learn from them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they play things and they do things a little bit different. I'll go, how do you do that? Show me that, you know. And then they want me to show them things, too. So it's kind of a trade-off. But I love taking them on the road and putting them in front of the people and letting them, you know, feature them, too, actually, in my shows.
Now, in the new album, Jimmy Fortune Sings the Classics, you've got 14 tracks, and we already mentioned that one was Flowers on the Wall in tribute to Lou DeWitt. How did you come about picking the songs you picked? You had to have a huge list of songs, of favorites. How do you narrow that down?
Well, what I did was, I knew it was going to be hard, but I put the word out to the fans, you know, on the internet and on my website and everything, and I said, you know, what songs have you? I want to do a classics album. What are the songs that you've always wanted to hear Jimmy Fortune sing? And so people started sending songs in. I mean, you're right. I had hundreds and hundreds and hundreds. What I did was I literally tallied them up. I tallied all the songs of what songs got the most votes, and those are the songs that are on that record. And then when I looked at it, I thought, oh my gosh! I said, there's the first song that I heard on the radio, a song by Eddie Arnold, "Make the World Go Away," on my dad's '57 Plymouth, sitting listening to the crickets one night, and that old Plymouth, all I had was a glow of that old radio dial, sitting in there, and on a summer night, listening to "Make the World Go Away," Eddie Arnold. I remember it like it was yesterday, and that's the only way we had to hear music back then, and then right on through. You know, Crazy Arms from Ray Price to to
That's one that surprised me. That's one that surprised me. Crazy Arms. It's not one of those songs that you immediately think of as a classic, but yet it is.
Yeah, because, well, Ray Price was just, oh my gosh, just, I loved Ray Price. I was a big fan of his. But that song, that running bass, you know, I mean, that it's just so good. I loved it. And to me, it's jukebox country. Mm-hmm. And so I remember, like I said, that song being on the jukebox when I was younger and then playing it. I've always loved that song too. But, you know, being that the fans voted on it, I couldn't believe it myself, because a lot of times you think they pick things that are more, you know, maybe vocally challenging.
Right.
But right down to, well, there are some things on it that are vocally challenging, there's a song called Wildfire from Michael Martin Murphy.
Love that tune. I remember growing up and delivering papers to that one.
Yeah, well, that was my daughter's used to get me to sing that. Michael Martin Murphy was there. They loved him, and they love that song, Wildfire, and they get me to sing it to them sometime at night, you know, when I'm putting them to bed. And so whenever I, you know, hear that song, I think about that. And right into Unchained Melodies on there, which is a very vocally challenging song, although the way it was done in the first place was vocally challenging. Then the way we did it, we kind of took it
right
and did a little bit of different style to it, just to change it up a little bit.
Well, that's a song that a lot of people bring their own fingerprints to. I remember Elvis's version was so much different than Bill Medley's and the Righteous Brothers. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those songs that I think anyone can really make their own if they've got the strong voice, which, of course, you do. Let's go back and play the song that your daughters loved, which, of course, is Michael Martin Murphy. We're going to start that up right now. This is Wildfire, and Jimmy Fortune has it on his new album, Sings the Classics, and it truly is a classic. And we'll be back with Jimmy on the other side of this.
Came an early snow,
hoot owl howling by my window now. For 6 nights in a row, she's coming for me, I know. And on wildfire, we're both gonna go.
Riding Wildfire. Michael Martin Murphy took that up the charts originally. It is truly a country rock classic, and recreated there by my guest Jimmy Fortune, a former member of the Statler Brothers, coming to Wisconsin. You can keep up with Jimmy at jimmyfortune.com. Very easy to remember. That's Jimmy double M-Y, not an I in there. And just important to say that because everybody thinks Jimi Hendrix, but wrong. Okay, let's talk a little bit more about this album. It's been out now, I want to say, what, 4 months, 5 months?
Yeah, it's been out since April. Yeah, sure has.
How's it been doing?
It's been doing really well. You know, I mean, I'm not on a, like, any kind of a major label as far as, you know, you get out and get a lot of radio play as far as things like that. But as far as it's being out in Cracker Barrel and it's in all the major markets out there where people can buy it. And it's on, I am on, you know, Bill Gaither's, the Gaither Music Group with him. And so you're going to get a certain amount of movement anyway on CD sales and things like that. But the CD's pretty much done its on its own because it's just out there when people see it, they buy it. And, thanks to people like you who are playing it now, it's going to get its own wings, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it's people like that, like you, that make it possible, and I appreciate it very much.
I appreciate your time being with us and all the great music you've made over the years for so many people. Like when we started off tonight, we were talking about how music impacts people, and you know, it makes you feel good that they get something out of it. And it's the same on our end. We get something so much, we appreciate the artist for doing what they do.
Well, it is like that. It literally is. When I'm doing a concert and I see people coming and they're singing the words back to, I mean, they're literally mouthing the words. It really does something to you when you see somebody that you don't, a stranger to you, you know, mouthing the words back to a song that you wrote or you had something to do with, and they're looking at you and like saying, you know, hey, I'm singing this with you. This is my song too.
Right.
And that's the best feeling in the world when it becomes theirs, not only yours from you doing it, but it becomes theirs because they're actually singing the song. And so, you know, there ain't a better feeling in the world than that right there. You said before that, you know, kind of what keeps you going and everything, and I guess that's what does it, is when you know that people are getting something out of it and a message that, you know, that God is using you in a way in your life and the things that you love to do to affect someone else and to maybe, you know, make something positive happen in their lives. So it's a pretty cool thing, really.
Now, you mentioned Gaither Music, and I always assumed and thought they were strictly gospel music, but this is a secular album.
Yeah, I did a Hits and Hymns album last year, and it's called Jimmy Fortune Sing. It's Hits and Hymns, and what it had on it had some of my favorite hymns on it, and then you know, songs like How Great Thou Art and Amazing Grace and Victory in Jesus, these type of, you know, songs that I used to sing in church, that we all used to sing in church.
Mm-hmm.
And Ben Isaacs produced it, and then of course it had Elizabeth on there, which was the hit from the Statler Brothers, and then it had My Only Love, Not My Only Love, but Too Much on My Heart, another number one song that I had. More Than a Name on a Wall was on there, which was a tribute to the veterans of the Vietnam. Went to the Vietnam Memorial and wrote that song from going up there for my trip, the experience of that. And the CD actually came on the charts. It came on the chart, the country charts, at number 10.
Wow.
In sales on last year on Billboard. And then I did a DVD, and that CD actually stayed in the country charts for 21 weeks in top 20.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and then we did a DVD, and the DVD from that became number one across all genres of music last year. And like I said, we haven't done one on this classics album, but we're thinking we may do it.
What song are you leaning towards? What song are you leaning towards for video?
Well, what we did was a video of the whole thing, of the whole project.
Okay.
And what that project is, the project, we put it on TV, and it sells off TV. And so that's what it was. It was number one, like I said, the number one in sales last year across all genres in Billboard. And so we're hoping that maybe this one will get to the same point. We sell enough that we might get to the point where we'll do a DVD on the whole project.
Okay.
And actually record it live and play it, which is a lot of fun. I mean, I had a ball doing it. And so I'm hoping it gets to that point with this classics album as well.
One of the songs that really stands out for me now, and that is because we recently lost him, is Glenn Campbell's Southern Nights. Is there a reason specifically that song made this album? I mean, obviously the fans voted for it, but is that song mean anything special to you, especially now that he's gone?
Well, Glenn Campbell was a good friend, and boy, I tell you, you know, the suffering that he's gone through over the last few years with Alzheimer's. Oh my gosh! If anybody can do anything, you know, donate or whatever to that cause, I hope and pray to God there's a cure for that, because it's such a horrible disease. But somebody put on it was on YouTube. Somebody showed it to me and shared it with me last week. My first time that I met Glenn Campbell, 1982, literally my father and I, before the Statler Brothers hired me, we were big fans of Glenn Campbell. We were sitting there watching the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour.
I remember that.
Filmed out in L.A.
Mm-hmm.
And we were watching it 1 week. And literally, like 2 weeks later, after everything happened, I'm standing on stage on the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour, standing there singing Flowers on the Wall with Glenn Campbell. And I saw it. I got this look on my face. I hadn't seen it for years and years and years. And there it was. I'm seeing it. I'm remembering what I'm thinking, standing there. I cannot believe I'm standing here singing with Glenn Campbell and playing guitar on stage with him right now. And then, of course, you know, him passing away. Got to, you know, meet him and talk with him and everything. And what a wonderful, wonderful person he was. He's one of my favorite singers and musicians. I mean, he affected so many people. One of the first albums that I ever got was my brother brought home a Glenn Campbell album. And, of course, it had, you know, Wichita Lineman on it. And by the time I get to Phoenix, and that stuff just totally blew me away. And Southern Nights was actually... I'm from the South and everything, and I love that song. And every time I hear it, it takes me back to you know, to the South and to the Southern Nights. But it also takes me back to Glenn. And I thought it would be a great tribute, because so many times you hear people do the other songs, but you didn't really ever hear people do Southern Nights much.
Right.
So I thought it hadn't been done a whole lot. So you know, that would be a good one to do. So,
well, let's play it now.
I did get to pay tribute to it.
Let's play it now in memory of Glenn. We'll be back with my guest, Jimmy Fortune, a final time after this. Thinking of those Southern Nights, the late, great Glenn Campbell gave us that one back in the day, and reliving it now with Jimmy Fortune, former member of the Statler Brothers. That's off his new album out just a few months now called Jimmy Fortune Sings the Classics, and it's a 14-song collection of great songs just like that one. And Jimmy, you were talking about the Glenn Campbell Good Time Hour, and I remember what a good time I had watching that, and Hee Haw with Roy Clark and all those great talents. And of course, the Statler Brothers had their own show for 7 or 8 years, and as I mentioned at the start of this interview, my mother would never miss it. In fact, when it went to reruns, she was just in heaven because she got to see you all the time. What was it like for you to do television? Was that something foreign? Is it something you gravitated towards easily?
Well, Harold and Don pretty much wrote all of the shows and everything, and so they'd give us a script, you know, and we'd go by that script, and all you had to do was pretty much just you know, go in there and let them turn the cameras on, and you just, you know, read your part and sang your songs. But, you know, through that TV show, I mean, I pretty much got to meet all of my heroes. I mean, it was just pretty unbelievable. And the fact that you're doing something, you know, that's kind of go down in time, and it's going to be a TV show that people will see years and years down the road, you know, at some point. But it was I remember it being a well-done show. It was a variety show. And the show, to me, was ahead of its time because they got shows coming out right now that are just like that on TV. And back then, we did it. It was the number one cable television show for 7 years. And CBS eventually, you know, bought out TNN, and that's when everything kind of changed. We had another show, a year of shows written, Harold and Don did. And they decided not to air it anymore the place to kind of go see country music, the channel to go see it on, it was going away, and people didn't have anywhere to get it anymore, and so we kind of felt like a lot of fans were left out there, kind of left there, because there was a lot of fans that are left that, you know, don't have anywhere to go to see shows like that. But then here, you know, in the last few years, variety shows are big things, and now they turn them into kind of you know, shows like, you know, American Idol and America's Got Talent and things. Because we didn't only have music. We had actually people that had, you know, magic acts and comedy acts.
It's like a throwback to the Ed Sullivan days.
It was a throwback to the Ed Sullivan days.
Now, for the folks that maybe hadn't seen the Statler Brothers show, is it ever going to, you mentioned earlier in the interview that you did some work with Time Warner. They are so known for collecting all these great old TV shows and old music collections. And of course, here on PBS and NPR, we promote a lot of those old packages that that they've gathered up and digitized and everything for folks. Do you think the Statler Brothers TV show will ever get that kind of treatment from Time Warner?
Well, you know, I would hope it would, but there's so many hands tied up in it right now, legally. There were so many, like, different entities and owners in the project that I think they've had a hard time working it out contractually as far as getting it done. You know, there is the Statler Brothers have a DVD, like a five-set DVD out of, like, specific favorite parts of those shows out.
Like a highlights?
On DVD. That a highlight, you know, different, you know, highlights of the favorite parts of the shows. They got some of those out. And I think there's five DVD set, which we sell on our website, JimmyFortune.com. But the Statler Brothers also have it at StatlerBrothers.com. You can go in and you can buy that from them as well.
You ought to get that into the Cracker Barrel stores. I bet it'd sell well.
Yeah, I know. I'm selling it on the road. I do have it on the road with me, and it sells real well. It's kind of, you know, it's a lot of money, but people don't, you know, they don't seem to mind because of what they're getting. But it is out there like that. But as far as the TV shows, the way they used to be intact, they've kind of been cut up, you know, and because of legal reasons, I guess you might say. But hopefully, one of these days, they can get around all that, you know.
Well, Jimmy, we are just about out of time. I want to play one more song as we say goodbye. What's one we'd like to that you'd like to play for my listeners to hear off the new album?
Ooh, oh my goodness! I don't know. There's a lot of them.
You want to
that
do?
I love.
You got two John Denver on here. You want to do a John Denver?
Well, yeah. I tell you what, we got. You know, with all the things that's going on with the floods in Florida and. and also with Harvey down in Texas and things that's going on with those people. Why don't we play Bridge Over Troubled Water? Because it's
all right.
You know, that's what we Americans we've become that for these people and these victims. We become bridges over troubled waters for them, and let's hope that people you know, reach way down and try to help these victims that have been affected by all this.
Well, we're going to do that right now. Jimmy Fortune has been my guest. Jimmy, thank you so much for your time.
Oh, thank you, buddy. God bless you, and I appreciate you very much.
Be safe on the road, my friend.
Okay, buddy. God bless.
JimmyFortune.com is where you'll find him. Listen to the song.
When you're weary, feeling small, when tears are in your eyes, I will dry them all. I'm on your side. Oh, when times get rough and friends just can't be found, like a bridge over troubled water, I will lay me down. I will lay me down. When you're down and out, when you're on the street, when evening falls so hard, I will comfort you. I'll take your part.